Listen, you probably don't have time to listen to a ton of podcasts or read through dozens of websites or articles because, hey, your interview is probably coming up soon, right? Check out Equipped Essentials, the all-in-one, easy-to-follow digital book that provides you with every tip, framework, and suggestion all in one place. You'll walk away with the nuts and bolts, essentially, that you need. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a two-page interview prep worksheet making your prep painless and foolproof. Just follow the steps right on there. Head on over to equippedinterview.com/books and put all the guesswork behind you. Get your copy of Equipped Essentials today. Equippedinterview.com/books.
In this last year and a half, really when the pandemic shut the world down, we had some time to work on some research because we've grown every year. And we were able to say, you know, we've now conducted 30,000 face-to-face interviews. I wonder if we could figure out who the best candidates we've ever interviewed are. And we were able to do that. Like, did they get the job? Did they stay in it?
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Equipped Interview Podcast. With a combined 30 plus years of being interviewed and interviewing thousands of others, we're here to build your confidence, help you stand out, and get your dream job. Your hosts are Joshua Tinkey
and Linda Camalli.
Let's get you equipped. All right, well, for today, we have another guest, and I'm excited to introduce you to William Vanderblumen. And I could share a little bit about him, but you know, I think it's always best to have everyone introduce him or herself. So today we have an expert in the industry in a few different ways, but William, first of all, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you, the chance to be on here.
Absolutely. And our listeners will learn a lot from you today and some of your experience, but let's just start right at the beginning. Love to hear from your perspective. What's your background and a little bit about your experience in interviewing others?
Yeah.
Anything else you think we should know from the get-go?
Well, I've got kind of a weird career path and I'll try and keep it short. I tell people I'm a recovering preacher, so I ramble on and on. But I spent about 15 years serving churches as a pastor, mainly as a senior pastor, and ended up serving a fairly good-sized church in Houston, First Presbyterian Houston. Then went through a divorce and found myself as a single dad with four kids and you know, just not in any kind of shape to be giving out spiritual advice. So I went into the corporate world and went to work for a Fortune 200 company. They kind of had me on like a management rotation thing where you learn this department this year, and then we'll move you to this one and then kind of teach me the industry. Sure. And my first year was in the HR department because they're like, oh, you know people, so we'll start there. Okay. The CEO, who had been CEO for nine and a half years, which is a long time for a Fortune 200 company, mm-hmm. Said, you know, I think it's probably time to find my successor. And they hired this thing that I've never seen before called a search firm. Mm-hmm. And because I was on the HR team, I was kind of like water boy for the process, right? Didn't really have a key part to play, but I got to see everything going on. So within 90 days, they had their new CEO. And so back up just a little bit. I'm serving at First Presbyterian Church. It's within the small world of Presbyterianism, it's a pretty big deal, like kind of like being mayor of a big town in Scotland. Like, what difference does that make? But it should not be a place that's hard to recruit to. Mm. It took them almost 3 years to find me. I was there six. It took almost 3 years to find my successor. So they spent 12 years. Half the time with a pastor, half the time looking. And then this oil and gas company that I'm sitting here working for gets done in 90 days. And I just kind of was like, wow, there's got to be a better solution. And I thought maybe we could build something like this for churches. And I came home and told my wife, we just got married earlier that year, blended our family with six kids, you know, just bought a house. And I said, you know, Adrian, I think I'm supposed to quit my job and start something new for churches. And she looked at me and she said, oh, that's because churches love new ideas, right? And if you've been around churches at all, you know that's, yeah. And Joshua, the best part, it was the fall of 2008, which was just a brilliant time to quit your job and go try something new.
Slight recession during that time.
Oh my gosh. I was so dumb. And you know, my wife should have said, I love you, love your vision. We got children to feed, go back to work. And instead she said, let's give this a try. So she really should get credit for starting the company. And now you fast forward, and what started with, could we help churches find a pastor, turned into, what about schools that need a headmaster? What about relief organizations that need a CEO or a CFO? What about values-based businesses that are, they're hiring for people with aligned values and not just competencies, right? So 15 years from when we started our little idea, it's blossomed into this multiple verticals of people who have a set of values who are looking for really top talent and trust us to find the cultural and chemistry sort of tissue match for them as they try and transplant a new leader in. So yeah, that's a long way of saying I've done a whole lot of interviews in the last 15 years. And in this last year and a half, really when the pandemic shut the world down, we had some time to work on some research because we've grown every year. And we were able to say, you know, we've now conducted 30,000 face-to-face interviews. I wonder if we could figure out who the best candidates we've ever interviewed are. And we were able to do that. Like, did they get the job? Did they stay in it? Right. And then we said, I wonder of these best of the best, I wonder if they have anything in common. And so we started studying, and turns out they have quite a bit in common. And the coolest part is the things they have in common are easily teachable habits that are really common among the very best candidates I've seen and really uncommon among everyone else. And they're just not that hard. So, you know, our research project has now turned into a book where we've been able to identify these 12 habits that the best seem to show and the rest don't, and a guidebook for like how you can adopt those habits. And you know, Joshua, the job market's kind of looking a little wobbly the last 6 months. It's also really crowded with more generations in the workforce than ever. And by the way, we're also competing with machines now, right? So I'm really hopeful that the result of this research will help a lot of people out there adopt some habits that will cause them to stand out of the crowd. Kind of just get that little half step ahead of the rest of everybody else, so that you can get seen and noticed and hired or promoted or whatever the situation is, you can stand out.
Well, those are the words that we use a lot on this podcast here. We talk a lot about how do you set yourself apart? How do you do that exactly? And that's how do you stand out so that you can also build your confidence and do both of those things because they tend to go hand in hand. And so I'm really intrigued about this research. And I know you have a new book coming out. I want to get to that specifically as well. You also made me super curious about some of these things you learned about those that do in fact stand out, because we have a process here that we talk a lot about over and over again. We have something called our 7 prep steps, and we talk a lot about making sure you're incredibly proactive and don't make any assumptions that the person that interviewing you can connect the dots that you want them to. You have to be very clear in your communication and know what you bring to the table, why you're there, and say it out loud and don't make any assumptions, in other words. And so if you've done all these interviews over 15 years and all this data diving that you've done, can you go into a couple of them? What are some of the things that do help people stand out that you found?
Yeah, here's the really cool thing. The 12 commonalities that we identified among these best of the best, it was not, oh, they're all 6 feet tall or, oh, they have great hair and great teeth. You know, it's not even they all went to an Ivy League school or they all speak well in public. It's simple things. Like maybe the most uncommon habit among the general population that was very common among the best of the best was a very high responsiveness. They got back to people really, really quickly.
Okay.
And like uncanny quickly. And you think, well, I get back to people quickly. Everybody thinks they get back to people quickly. We surveyed 250,000 people around these 12 habits. This is hilarious. Wow. And I think it was like 71% of everyone surveyed said that they are better than average at getting back to people. So first of all, the math doesn't work, right?
Doesn't work out right. Yeah.
No. But secondly, you know, we used SurveyMonkey. And so we talked to the people at SurveyMonkey and we said, so we're asking people if they're fast. What is a fast response time for SurveyMonkey? And they gave me the stats on all of their surveys. They're like, you can expect most people are going to reply within 3 days. The outliers will be later than that. Okay, fine. So we went and looked at what was the average response time of the 250,000 people we surveyed, and it was 5 days. So the average of our 250,000 people is slower than normal at SurveyMonkey.
And they identify themselves as
fast. Everybody thinks they're faster, but it's uncanny. I don't know if you've ever done this. If you've just like sent somebody an email and you hear back from them within a minute. I mean, it's like weird. Like
it is.
Wow. Yeah,
absolutely.
If you can train yourself to get back to people with ridiculous responsiveness, you will stand out of the crowd. Now that can become tyrannical if you're not careful. When you're, you know, like at our office, we have different inquiries require different rate of response. And if we're just emailing each other at work, like if I send an email out now, it's after hours, the office is closed. People know to look at it in the morning.
Right.
And if I send it, if I send a Slack out now after hours, whoever I Slack will get back to me. If I text them, they will call me right away. That's kind of our like DEFCON 3, 2, 1, you know, so
you
that,
have to,
so
otherwise there's just pressure to be on email all day.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But it's not just email, it's get an answer. It's get back to people quickly. It's responsiveness. I mean, like even on dating sites where you've got two people who are paying someone money to try and help them figure out who they can match up with, the response time is slow when there's an inquiry. People just don't get back to our interviews. Hiring agencies hire us, whether it's a school or a church or a cause or a company. And they're like, go find our next unicorn, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been very fortunate to work with some of the very best organizations that are high, high reputation. And so you would think when we reach out to people about the possibility of interviewing for one of these jobs, they would get back to us right away. They don't. It still totally turns my head if I get a text back right away from somebody.
Wow.
So that's just one. And that's just, it's simple. It sounds like, I'll start doing that. And then before you know it, you started procrastinating, which I had forgotten until we were writing the book. I took a bunch of Latin in school. The word in Latin that's tomorrow is the word crastina. So you procrastinate. Literally, I'll just get to it tomorrow. And that's what most everybody does. Yep. You want to stand out, get back to people right away.
So that's the process. That's one of the things that you can do and find a way to just stand out from the crowd there. What about during an interview itself? One of the things that we talk a lot about here, and I have very strong feelings around what to do and what not to do during the kind of your opening pitch during an interview, around the tell me about yourself question, what's your background, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Have you found any ways that candidates stand out in that area?
Yeah, the two come to mind immediately. Okay. So the first one is the whole tell me about yourself question. I mean, that's like the number one question in interviews, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So what do you say? Well, if I see that you are self-aware, right, and have done your homework with the job that you're interviewing for, you immediately stand out. Now, what does that look like? Hey, Joshua, you're interviewing me for this job in marketing. And I love your company. I love that it's new. I love that it's growing fast. I love that, you know, you guys are kind of figuring it out as you go. And you know what I'm learning about myself? I'm like a 7 on the Enneagram. Like I love the next new thing. And if you come to me and say, you know, I know we hired you for this, but the job shifted and changed. We've got other duties as needed. I'm going to thrive in that. If you need somebody to do the same action over and over and over all day long on a very predictable schedule, I'm not going to be happy in that. You're not going to be happy with my work. I know me well enough to know I like the next new adventure, and the job you're hiring me for that we're talking about right now is exactly that. And let me show you three different places in my career where I had the same sort of environment and I really thrived. So you see what's happened there. Mm-hmm. You've told me you're self-aware, right? You've also preempted the worst question in interviewing, which is tell me your greatest weakness. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never ask for a raise. I work too many hours. Exactly. Yeah. But if you can show self-awareness, I know I like the next new thing. I can do detail work. I've done it before, and I can show you five places where I had to do all the details myself, but I do better with big ideas. And if that's what you're hiring for, this could be a match that'd be a lot of fun. That has just showed me an unusual self-awareness. You can even take it a step further. If you were hiring me to be your chief compliance officer, I would be terrible. You don't want me doing that. That is measure eight times, cut once. That's compliance-oriented things. That's I'm more of a creative. I'm not going to do well at just sort of the brushing and flossing, which is a great job, but not a job I would flourish in.
Right. I love that specific example. Not only does it show self-awareness, it shows something that we talk a lot about here in a couple of different ways. One is hearing your kind of sample response there. You focused on your skills. You showed an awareness of what the role might entail and how your skills match up with that or don't match up with it. Two, what I really liked about it, we talk a lot about here, is adding some credibility to your own opinion of yourself by bringing in an outside objective source like the Enneagram test or the StrengthsFinder test or other assessments that basically give a somewhat third-party perspective or an objective view on what you're saying. Kind of add some credibility to some of the commentary that you're providing. So I really like that. And one thing that I'm just pointing out to just drive home for some of my regular listeners is that one thing you didn't do, which is exactly how I coach people, and that's you didn't just walk through your chronological background or your history. Well, first I was here and did this. First I had this job, and then I had this job, and then I did that job. I know it was just a short example you gave, but the way you approached it, I just want to call that out. It was very skills focused and focusing on how what your strengths are and your awareness of the job and how they match together. More so than just saying, okay, here's who I am and walking through your history. Because it gets boring pretty quick for the interviewer if you just walk through your resume.
Oh, it's like watching paint dry, let me tell you. I've sat through it thousands of times. Yep. Far more than to get somebody who is on a journey of self-discovery. You know, there's very little we have that is directly quoted from Socrates. It's all just sort of verbal tradition. One of the few things we have that was written down is the one sentence that he's most famous for, where he just says, know yourself. Yep. I mean, the smartest guys to ever live. What's the beginning of wisdom? Know yourself. You know, like you think about Jesus saying, if you see somebody doing wrong, don't worry about the splinter in your eye, in their eye. Get the big old stick out of your own eye. I don't think he was fussing at people. I think he was saying, hey, you need to know yourself. First. Mm-hmm. And if you can, to me, and I'm probably telling you guys things that you're already discussing, but to me, the clearest predictor of future job performance is previous job performance. So if you can show me some self-awareness, and I'm really good at other duties as necessary, and say, it's like when I worked in a startup where we had to figure it out as we went. We had hockey stick growth. My job title changed 15 times, but I grew the email list 350% in 9 months. And I had a lot of help there and a lot of teammates, but like, I love working in that kind of crazy environment that would make a lot of other people uncomfortable.
It's a very practical, data-driven type of response and something like that. It really paints a picture for the interviewer. Speaking of data, I know we touched on it earlier, but love to hear a little bit more about, I know you have a new book coming out and that is data-driven. Tell us a little bit more about that book and who did you decide to write that for?
Yeah, well, during the pandemic and the shutdown, our sectors of work, mainly services industries, really didn't have any service going on, right? We just, it wasn't like Zoom that was hiring people left and right. So we got to drop back and do some research and say, we've been doing this a long time. Anytime we do any search, we'll have maybe 1,000 people that we take a look at for this one position. And then that quickly turns into 100. And then, you do some phone screens and some Zooms and then you're getting down to like the best of the best. And when you get down to that final, call it 6 to 10 candidates, they all get a long format face-to-face in-person interview with us. Okay. And we have done those 30,000 of those long format interviews now.
Wow.
So that's 30,000 with really talented people. And we're kind of maniacal about keeping our records. I would say that my team is OCD, but they'd get mad because that's not alphabetical. They'd rather be called CDO. And we've just been able to say, okay, let's go look at all these interviews. Let's look for commonalities. And that's when we were able to see there are some markers, and we whittled it down to 12 that are clearly achievable habits that these best of the best exemplified, and they're normal for the best of the best and very abnormal and uncommon among the rest of everybody else. And I the other thing in an interview, you want to really stand out of the crowd. I talked about tell me about yourself. You know, where I've been doing this long enough now, where many times in an interview, but by the time they get to me, they've already been interviewed many times over by our staff, right? So I'm like, you know what, Joshua, you don't need to tell me your life story and all that. Team's done a great job. How about we do this? I think the best way to spend our time together is for me to answer questions you have about this job. And you know how much I learn based on how intelligent the questions are that people ask? It's amazing. And that comes down to one of the 12 habits was kind of an insatiable curiosity. Like, why we did that? How are you this? And if you have done active research on the job you're interviewing for, hey, I see your company has a big, bold expansion initiative that's rolling out over the next 12 months. Tell me more about that. What drove the decision for the expansion? How are you funding it? Like, teach me. That kind of curiosity, I learn way more about a candidate based on the questions they ask me than the answers that they give me.
And the type of question that you just gave as an example is more of a conversation starter than it is just Q&A, where they're not throwaway questions. And that's a really important part of the interview process. I won't go into the whole process now, but we teach something very similar to what you just said called the SHOW method, SHOW, to try to kickstart, kind of tee yourself up for a conversation at the end of the interview. Because you might be given, like the way you just set it up there, you might be giving someone half an hour of time to just ask you questions. And if you're not prepared for that, it's going to be a long, long 30 minutes, or it's going to be really, really quick, and you're going to be not the candidate selected. And so the way the show that we talk about is S stands for just share something that you hopefully have researched about the company or that you've read or you've watched, whether it's a TED Talk, a book, an article, share something that you know about that's relevant to the role, the organization, the industry, have an opinion about it to demonstrate that you've thought it. That's the H in show, have an opinion about it. For the next opinion, get their opinion on your opinion. You might have a differing opinion than theirs. Great. That especially sets up a conversation. And then the W is to wonder. It's kind of you mentioned the word be curious, the phrase, we talk a lot about that here, and be wonder or be curious about their opinion to keep the conversation going. And don't just get their response and say, that's great. Here's my next question. It's have an actual conversation so you can show that you've done your research, that you understand the role, talk more about your skills if you need to, but just give yourself a chance to share what you've learned and hopefully a lot of the research that you've done ahead of time, and more so than just what's the job like, what are you looking for? We all have our pet peeve questions and some of
that's right.
Mine, so
that's also good. That is really good. And you know what I've found? I had one stop in my career where I was regularly interfacing with, frankly, just world beaters. I mean, they were captains of their industry. You name it, they were either the first to do it or the best at doing it or what. And I noticed over time that the more successful a person was, the less they talked about themselves and the more they asked me about me. I just think it's uncanny. And so I've thought about that through an interviewing perspective. How does that translate? Well, it's like, hey, Joshua, you know, everything looks great. I'm so excited about this opportunity and really appreciate you making time. Tell me this. Why'd you come work at this company? And why have you stayed this long? I mean, tell me about you and your journey with the company. Well, nobody's going to turn down that question. And then you can hear, you know, well, they have an amazing PTO schedule, or, you know, we're building literacy centers with a small part of our profits, or whatever the great things about the company are. And you've shown curiosity.
Really, really good. Interesting to learn that that's part of the data. You have all those, you know, the surveys you had, the research you did for a long time. And
well, I will say on that curiosity piece, I can't tell you how many times who got the job boiled down to who asked the best questions, not had the best answers, but asked the best questions.
I hope you're listening. That's a really, really valuable statement. So if you are multitasking while you're listening, come back. Can you repeat that one more time, William? Because I think that's really important.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll get it verbatim, but I'm amazed how many times who got the job in a search boiled down to who asked the best questions, not who gave the best answers.
Love it. That can be, it can be make or break. So it really, is important to focus ahead of time and do your research and know what you're going to ask and start, set yourself up for conversation more so than just hope that you run out of time before they get to their questions, because that's not a winning strategy. So I'm glad that came out of your research. Well, this the time's going faster than I expected. So let's do this. I had a few more questions I was going to ask, but let's just end it with this and we can wrap things up here. But I'd love to hear if you think about your tens of thousands of interviews. I'd love to hear what you think is one of your favorite moments in an interview, whether it was a good moment, a funny moment, you know, a learning moment. Love to hear what was one of your favorite moments interviewing others.
Well, I probably shouldn't tell this. It's a little just, you'll probably not have me back on the pod. You can cut this out if it's not good. We were, you know, we started in 08, which is when social media took off. So that was a big part of our growth. So we were trying to figure out how to drive engagement in the very early days. And so one of our newer team members put a poll out there on, I think it was on Facebook, that said, and this is before Instagram, and the poll said, what's the most awkward interview question you've been asked? And that sounds like a fun thing to put out there. Well, like the third answer, somebody wrote boxers or briefs. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we've got to pull this. It's going to go bad. And before we could pull it down, somebody replied to that response and said, depends.
Depends. I love it so bad.
No, I think I really appreciate when I hear interviewees, I mean, you are showcasing yourself. You're marketing yourself, right? So it's okay to talk about yourself. But man, when you can, you know, you watch a great NFL quarterback after a game, he's taken all the blame and given away all the credit.
Yep.
And when you start hearing that, you start hearing a leader. And that doesn't mean you have to belittle yourself or speak poorly of yourself. But some of the strongest moments in interviewing that I've had is when people said, you know, I'm pretty good at my job, but I wasn't good at this part. If it weren't for the team and the way they pitched in and we all worked together, you know, you've shown some vulnerability there. And you're not just trying to be, you know, super plastic with every answer. So, you know, vulnerability and giving away credit and taking on blame, those are powerful lessons. So, and I'm guessing that if a guy who gets beaten up by 300-pound defensive players all week can come up with those words, every one of your listeners can come up with something along that line.
I would tend to agree. I can't imagine not. All right. Well, William, there's a lot of insight there. Really appreciate it. I know there's a lot more we could talk about, but for the interest of time, we'll just move on from there. I'd love to hear, where can our listeners go to learn about you, your firm, your book coming out? Where should they check it out?
Well, so two easy ways. First of all, theunicornbook.com. Theunicornbook.com. That'll take you to the hub with all resources and everything that you can imagine. The other thing you can do is just try spelling Vanderblumen any way you want into Google, and it will lead to us.
Very good.
And there are 3,500 free resources on our website that, you know, blog posts, podcasts, infographs about either interviewing or being interviewed. You'll find a lot of free help here. You'll also find your way to the book, and this is the first interview I've done where I've mentioned this, so this is kind of, you're getting a sneak peek, but we've actually taken those 12 habits that we identified in Beauty Unicorn, and we hired some counselors and some data-driven people to say, how can we build a self-assessment tool like the Strength Finders to find out of those 12, where are my three best and what are my, and it's going to be a super cool personal inventory to figure out what am I already good at and what's a blind spot. We're also turning it into, you can take it individually, but it's also going to be a 360 tool for teams at work. And then you as a team can see where are you good and where are your blind spots and how do individual perceptions differ from what superiors or subordinates might say. It's going to be really cool. That's exciting. That will be at vanderblumen.com. Yeah, we've already gotten 10,000 people that have gone through it. So there's a lot of good data points you'll be able to measure yourself against.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited for that to come out. And don't worry, we'll make sure to leave some links in our show notes for right to your website. So if someone gets the name wrong, they'll be able to find you.
No, they won't get it wrong. It's the only reason we named the company what we did. Because the search engine guys were like, dude, your last name is so messed up.
We need to use it. This has to be what they're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
thanks so much, William, for joining us and sharing some of your years of wisdom with our audience and making sure that they can stand out a little bit more, hopefully, next time they go through the interview. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joshua. Appreciate you having me on very much.
You got it.